He is risen.
He is risen.
Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Scott, and I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I don't know about you, but Easter Sunday has got to be one of my, if not my, favorite day of the year. And me and the other pastors, we choose to dress up in suits on this day to mark the occasion of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we'll get dressed up for a wedding. We'll get dressed up for a funeral. Why wouldn't we get dressed up for the most important day of the year? So if you're wondering why we're wearing suits as pastors this morning, that is the reason. Amen? Amen. And besides, B says I scrub up pretty well. Right? I'm sure Mum would agree, eh? Anyway, that's enough of me. Today we're going to focus on the life-changing, truth-declaring, hope-giving moment when angels declared that Jesus is risen. The tomb was empty. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word empty, it generally has very negative connotations. I loved what B did just now with the egg. But I remember when I was a kid, if I'd shaken the egg and then I'd opened it and there was nothing in it, I would have been heartbroken, because when I was a kid, everything was in the eggs. I wouldn't have got my Smarties on my chocolate buttons. I would have been pretty sad about that. But think about emptiness a bit more widely. So kids, I'm guessing you don't like an empty packet of sweets or an empty packet of crisps. Or I'm guessing you don't really like it when your parent or guardian says there's no pudding unless your plate is empty. As adults, let's face it, we don't like it if we see empty cupboards or an empty bank balance. We don't want to hear empty promises or live empty lives with empty meaning. We just have a negative thought process around the word empty. It's considered a negative thing. It means lack. It speaks of nothing, naught, zip, nada. However, the empty tomb is a different story, and it tells a different story very loudly. The fact that the tomb was empty was not a bad or a negative thing. No, it was the most wonderful thing ever. The empty tomb wasn't indeed empty. It was full of significance and meaning. You see, we don't speak about the disappointment of the empty tomb now, do we? Or the anxiety of the empty tomb. No, we speak about the wonder of the empty tomb. A wonder that is incomparable. A wonder that, although we've read about Moses, heard of stories of Moses and heard stories of Noah, heard stories of those greats of old, they can't compare to the empty tomb. The empty tomb is everything. It was the mic drop moment of all mic drop moments. The account of the empty tomb is so important, we find it in all four of the historical biographical accounts of Jesus, recorded at the beginning of the New Testament. Each one has its own specific individual way of telling the story. Imagine it a little bit like the way a newspaper, four newspapers, you remember newspapers? News apps maybe. How four news apps might tell a story of the same event. They have a different audience, they'll have a different things to highlight, but it's the same story being told. In each of them, we read of women going to the tomb, we read of angels' presence, we read of the stone rolled away, and we read of grave clothes left behind. These things are in all of them. In all of them, we read how fear or shock becomes awe, becomes excitement. Each of these details are recorded in different ways and with different bits of detail. But the one thing that stands out in all of them is the tomb was empty. Jesus' body wasn't there. He had risen. With all that said, I'm going to read one of those accounts just from the account of Mark. We're going to be looking at Mark 16, 1 to 9. And I'm going to make a couple of comments off the back of it. Can I just say it again? He is risen.
He is risen.
Come on. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" Reasonable question. But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where the body lay. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. This is wow. I know for us it's like they're words on a page and could be read like a fiction book, but this isn't fiction. This is fact. This is historical account verified by witnesses, told in four different ways across four different gospels. It's the reason that people got killed, the disciples got killed, because they told this story. When you read Peter and he's talking to Festus at the end, Paul at the end of his life, and he's talking to Festus, he's talking about the resurrection. This is a new story. If we had it now, it would be coming up on the red bar. On the 24-hour news, the scrolling news would be, "Jesus has risen, Jesus has risen." It's the big story. This was fact. And can you imagine, just for a moment, being Mary and the women that are going down to the tomb? They've bought their burial spices the night before, just after they were able to. You know, they're waiting. Sabbath is nearly over. Yeah, I can go and get the burial spices now. Because their intention is to go down in the morning, the sadness that they have as they go down to dress Jesus. And as they're walking along, they're talking amongst themselves, and it suddenly comes upon them. They know they've seen the stone rolled across, and they're thinking, "How on earth are we going to roll the stone back that way? That's a heavy stone." And so they're having this conversation. So as they approach the tomb, can you imagine what they must have felt when they saw that the stone had been rolled away? I remember a few years back when we lived down in Whitley, there was a moment where we drove home and the front door was open. Now, that wasn't a nice moment. Now, I'd like to tell you it wasn't a resurrection story, all right? It was a foolish one where God protected our property when I had forgotten to shut the door. But boy, there was fear there. Why is the door open? Why has the stone, how has the stone been rolled away? Then they go in the tomb and they're met by someone, a young man sitting there, and he's quickly identified as an angel. And he says to them, "Don't be afraid, don't be alarmed." He declares that Jesus isn't there, but he's now risen. Just put yourself in that place for a moment. You've seen him crucified. You've bought the burial spices. You've gone down. You're intending to tend to his body. You're not knowing how you're getting in. And now there's an angel chatting with you. "Hi, good to see you." For those on screen, there's a little one just to my right. I'm not sure they're thinking, "Wow, Jesus has risen," before they get into that tomb, before they see the angel. Right, I just want to remind you, this isn't a fairy tale. This happened. This is fact. And this is a shock moment. How? How do you take all this in? Stone rolled away, angel sitting there, Jesus not there. How are you taking that on emotionally, mentally, physically? They're the things we think about now, aren't they, in our culture? What would I be like? What would I be thinking? What do you mean he's risen? What? Explain yourself. What's going on? I can't get my head around this. The tomb was empty, except for some grave clothes and an angel declaring great news. It was empty of Jesus' body. Now, the tomb being empty is full of meaning, but I just want to pull three things out. It's full of life, it's full of truth, and it's full of hope. Firstly, the empty tomb is full of life. Life coming back into Jesus' lungs. Lungs that hadn't breathed for the best part of 3 days. Lungs that we are told had breathed their last as Jesus could no longer pull himself up to breathe on the cross. Now, there had been people brought back from the dead before, but they all went on to die again. More of a resuscitation than a resurrection. Jesus is resurrected. Not just raised from the dead, but raised with a new body, raised in immortality, never to die again. Hallelujah. His resurrection is the final death nail for the power of death. Oh, death, where is your sting? We sang it this morning, didn't we? It says in 1 Corinthians 15. Lloyd-Jones, a great preacher in the late 20th century, said, resurrection is the great moment of victory, triumph, joy and exhilaration. I love that last word. It's exhilarating that Jesus rose from the dead. It should cause our pulses to race. I've nearly burst into tears 2 or 3 times this morning just as I've hugged someone saying he is risen. It never loses its wonder. It's exhilarating. Sorry, if some of you thinking I'm being a bit shouty, I'm not. I'm just excited. Okay, please forgive me if you think I'm just excited. Why is it exhilarating? Because death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. Jesus, with no medics, no one praying for him or laying hands on him, rises from the dead. He is alive. And he shows himself to Mary and the women, then to two disciples on a road, then to the 11, and then it says to various groups of people over 40 days. He is alive. And it wasn't a ghostly appearance. This was a body with substance. One that could walk, eat, be touched, recognized as human form. Although he could walk into locked rooms, there was a difference. The wonder of the empty tomb is also the wonder of life. It's the wonder of the resurrection. We talk about the good news, don't we? Well, Judah Smith says this, resurrection is what makes the news good. It's a full stop moment. Secondly, the empty tomb is full of truth. We often wonder who we can trust, don't we? Who can I trust? Politicians, all that stuff. We wonder, who can we trust? Our culture speaks of relative truth and there being no absolute truths, which ironically is an absolute truth if you think about it. People say things like, my truth is this, or it's a bit more veiled, and they say, oh, that's nice, I'm glad that works for you. Is there one who has proved beyond a shadow of doubt that he can be trusted? That what he says actually goes and happens? And how has he gone about proving that? Jesus claimed to be the promised Messiah. The Son of Man, the Son of God. God himself in human form walking amongst his people. How was he to prove that? Because you see, you'd think people would believe him on the basis of the miracles and his teachings and his healings. But many didn't. In fact, it's what got him killed. However, the empty tomb gives us absolute confidence that Jesus is and was who he said he was. Why? Well, because Jesus had said to his religious, to the religious rulers that the temple, referring to himself, would be torn down but would be built up again in 3 days. He had said on at least 3 different occasions to his disciples that he would die and be risen and would rise again on the 3rd day. He even says this at one point to them. He says, I have the authority to lay down my life and I have the authority to take it back up again. So it's not like anyone else is going to really do it to him. It's in his authority these things are happening. He said that would happen. Jesus told them plainly that he would die and rise again on the third day. And friends, the very fact that Jesus indeed did rise again gives us absolute confidence that he is the absolute truth. Amen?
Amen.
Confidence that all Jesus said was absolutely true. That what he said can be trusted, even the bits we don't really like. The empty tomb underlines the words that he said about himself, that he was and is the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't just tell the truth, he is the truth. The final thing that the tomb is full of, the empty tomb is full of, is hope. It is a sure and certain hope we're talking about here. I'm not talking about a vague hope, like I hope England win the Euros this year. I do. Only because none of the other countries from the UK are in. Or Scotland might be. I don't know. England. It is a sure and certain hope. A hope that comes from the life of resurrection and the truth of Jesus. It's the hope of life for us. Jesus has promised that his followers would have life and life to the full. Not a life without pain and suffering, but life and life to the full. Life to the full is found in relationship with the resurrected Jesus. Life to the full is in knowing we can know love and joy and peace in the midst of all circumstances. That's life. Life isn't full bank accounts or full packets of crisps or full this or full that. Life is found in the empty tomb of Jesus. Joy is found there. Peace is found there. Love is found there. Patience is found there. Fruitfulness is found there. Self-control, friends, is found there in the empty tomb of Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We can know the hope that our God is still rolling stones away like we've sung this morning. We can know hope that we can change. Because Jesus is committed to seeing us change. We know that there is hope that we can and will overcome that sin. There is hope that we will be able to forgive. There is hope that we will be able to be forgiven. Last week, Sean preached eloquently and told us about where we're heading. Friends, because of the empty tomb, there is hope that we can thresh mountains of unbelief and poverty and prejudice because he is alive. There is hope that we can be disciples who make disciples because Jesus is alive and he said we would. Amen?
Amen.
There is hope that we too will have eternal life with him, with a resurrected body like his. That as believers of Jesus, death is but a passing to a life in eternity with him. It is not final. And it is not to be feared. We have a hope that the tears and the sorrow, the sickness and the pain, the selfishness and the greed that leads to wars and to hatred in this current age will come to an end. And God's kingdom will one day be fully established in its entirety. The empty tomb, my friends, the empty tomb is full of life and truth. And hope. Can I have that slide up? The empty true tomb is full of life and truth and hope. Friends, as I land and we sing more songs of celebration, if you can come now, band, that was your cue. I didn't tell you that was the cue, I'm sorry. You were just supposed to know that in a wonderful moment. We do so knowing that the empty tomb shouts loudly of the most wonderful life giving, truth-telling, hope-giving moment in history. Friends, he is risen. Father, I want to thank you that this morning we get to celebrate the empty tomb. We get to celebrate the fact that your son conquered death, took victory over that last enemy, that we can sit confident today, knowing that we find our life and our truth and our hope in the resurrected Christ. Not the Christ who hangs on a cross, but the one who is now seated in glory on our behalf, interceding for us. And Lord, I pray that we would go away from this place this morning after singing our songs of worship to Him with wonder in our hearts and wonder in our minds, knowing again that the empty tomb wasn't indeed empty, but was absolutely full, full of life, full of truth, and full of hope. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Would you like to stand up if you can, please? And we're going to sing to Jesus.